All right, relax, everyone. Most of the bad stuff is fake. That's Chief Crow Auto Hoax. It is September the 30th, 2021. Looking forward to tomorrow, the hoaxiversary of the Vegas event. So we'll be talking about that. So many things to talk about today. So many people over there at CNN are just disgusting scumbags. It's literally a cult of some kind. You will not believe what Don Lemon did to one of his coworkers, and it really makes me question a whole lot of things about the guy. Not just about his politics, but there's just something very grotesque and lewd, a Hannibal Lecter level disgusting, if you want to hear about it, which I don't really want to tell you what Don Lemon did, but it really makes me question a number of things. Strangely enough, including his gender, which I know it's offensive. It has nothing to do with that stuff. It's just the nature of the way that he harassed somebody at a party. It's just bizarre. Don't want to talk about it still. But it's like, well, that's Cuomo's BFF. And then Cuomo, talk about Andrew, another one of these CNN propagandists, coronavirus liars. His brother, same thing. So it's just a whole clique of creeps at CNN. And funnily enough, we had an episode of South Pole about it where the basement of CNN was actually a pizza parlor. I mean, I ought to play that clip. And I think Cuomo was down there with Andrew, and Governor Cuomo was selling his brother Andrew to the health minister, Maggie the Block, in exchange for higher death tolls. So that he could get more power, he was basically selling his brother to Maggie the Block. And there's some kind of joke in there like, ah, you've been around the block a few times. It's not going to hurt you. It's a pretty funny episode, in my opinion. But it's like, that was back in December of 2020. And everything that we put in South Pole just happens to be true. So we either have very good intel, or we're lucky, or we're psychic, or maybe we're influencing reality. Who knows? But yeah, it's like, it's almost, I mean, imagine if the world started to become South Park. Well, what came first? You know, the distortions we see in our reality, or South Park? You know, maybe there's something to this idea that the TV and the media is some kind of reality influencing mechanism, that we're in fact participating in mass group ritual without even knowing it. Like, maybe magic's real, and that's why everything's so screwed up. Apocalyptic smile, yes, that's what I'm talking about. I don't even want to describe it, but basically, Don Lemon approaches somebody, and he does something horrible, and the guy sues him, and then he says it's a frivolous suit, and he laughs it off, which it's not frivolous. You know, if Don Lemon, if he still has a job after this, then there's something that he knows about his higher-ups, because you can't take any of these creeps in isolation. They're part of a network. And I think that they're involved in the news somehow, but I don't know. For the most part, they read teleprompters, they're propagandists, and they've got some kind of weird sex cult, for lack of a better term. I mean, Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, had just made headlines recently because someone had reported that he had assaulted his former boss in front of her husband and humiliated her. I mean, these people, like I said, they're creeps. That's CNN. I don't know how I got to this topic. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the list of other things I wanted to get into tonight. So many interesting things. Oh, here's a quote from Franz Kafka. And the universe is Kafkaesque, if you had to use an adjective. He says, quote, I was ashamed of myself when I realized that life was a costume party and I attended with my real face. Kind of an interesting statement there, because, you know, all this talk about masks and everything, and it's like, well, weren't we already masked in some sense? Aren't we already? The hoodwink, I guess is what I would call it. If you're not familiar with hoodwinking, or the term hoodwink, it's this expression that refers to the initiation, specifically within the Masonic fraternity, where they put a hood over the head of the initiate to symbolize the fact that they're being put into ignorance so they can be led around by the rope around their neck. So the word hoodwink means to deceive or trick. And I think that our entire society has been hoodwinked. Eyes Wide Shut hints at this. The movie Eyes Wide Shut. Many of these other movies too, but I bring that one up because it's Kubrick. And there's a subtext there worth looking at. It's about the religious or I guess you would call it a religious garment, but there's another aspect to the mask when it comes to initiatory cults and the sacrifice of the individuality, the effacement of the self as they become one with the horde or the club, whatever it happens to be. Okay, here we go. Britney Spears is free. Who cares, right? But these are stories within stories, and it's just worth noting that there has actually been a lot of news referencing Spears. In fact, there's a number of things about the spear itself and the symbol of what that might represent that we could get into. But 9/29, yesterday, a judge suspended her dad from her conservatorship. Now, I suspect it's all theater, but that's why I'm bringing this up. We're evaluating the world stage. Also, I think it's worth noting here that Tom Cruise split with whoever he was dating, Haley Atwell. And this is just another one of these things, too, I'm pointing out, because these celebrities never do things by accident. Did you know that Tom Cruise divorced every single one of his wives at the age of 33? Like, these things aren't coincidental. I'm not quite sure the meaning of this one, but, I mean, for example, Musk broke up with his girlfriend. I don't think they were married. And this makes the news. You know, who cares, right? Well, the reason it would matter in this context is that I would suggest that since he's part of the space papacy, there might be a bigger picture there. And these are major influence agents. Now, in the case of Grimes leaving Musk, there's kind of a little freak show attached to that. Apparently, she has plans to inhabit a moon and turn it into some type of a commune. And I believe she said a commune for women only. I'll see if I can find that link. It's one of the stranger twists that this story has taken. But they mix these things. They mix reality and fiction all the time. I don't think there's any coincidences or I don't think there's anything insignificant about the release dates of John Hinckley, you know, would-be presidential assassin, Saran Saran, assassin of RFK. You know, what's with these assassins being let loose right now? It all seems to be a little much happening all at once. Oh, this is something else too. This is, you know, you have to look up if you don't have your helmets on. You might want to lock down if you believe in space junk, because China, quote, lost a satellite. So this was actually now 2 days ago. Their state media reported that they were sending the Xi'an 10 satellite. They confirmed that they don't know where the hell it is. They know it's in orbit, but they don't know where it is. So I can only guess that we're probably going to see another piece of space junk sooner than later. Okay, here's the story with Grimes. And a little bit more here of this beef between the billionaires, the billionaire blimp club. Musk is now mocking Bezos' phallic rocket. Like, they can't stop drawing attention to that. And I have to wonder why. Here it is. Grimes is creating a, quote, lesbian commune. Not just anywhere. She says, quote, I'll be colonizing one of Jupiter's moons, Europa, separately from Elon. So I think they're going to share custody of their 3D printed baby, but she's going to be on one of Jupiter's moons, according to Page Six, New York Post. She's also got an album coming out. She announced that the vibes for her next album are about a space opera AI romance. She explains that her lead artificially intelligent demon, or AI demon, is named Dark Matter. So Dark Matter, her AI demon, enters as a black swan, but they fall into a romance. They're the only two AI beings in the universe. It's another woman. So you have these lesbian AI gods out there in Jupiter. That's where Grimes is at. All right, going through some comments. Flat Fact says, really spear. That's interesting. The word spear is very old. Well, my take on it was this. Recently, the ADL had made the point to say that the image of Saint George spearing the dragon is a hate symbol, that it represents something racist, like the three percenters driving out people with the devil in them, the DNA, the reptilian DNA, or whatever, the devil's blood. That's how the ADL explains it, that this is some kind of purity thing, and that Saint George is now a hate symbol. But I had never really thought about that in that context, but it is interesting that they've made that association, because now you have the QAnon killer out there in California, who today pled not guilty, by the way, Matthew Coleman, and he claims that Q commanded him to kill his kids. And moreover, he said that he had to kill his kids because they had reptilian DNA. So his kids have the snake blood because of the mother. And what does he do? He takes a spear, a harpoon gun, and he spears his kids. And this is gr it's gruesome, but we're talking about theater, 17 times. You know, Q 17. He probably drew a Q in the ground on the beach and stabbed him 17 times in the middle while chanting Trump, Trump, Trump. I mean, that's how dumb this story is. But my point being, they use the symbol of the spear killing the serpent babies on the ground. All right, well, we will continue with that. So Musk says it could have been a different shape potentially, mocking Bezos's rocket. He says, well, this is what they've been doing. They've been making fun of each other's rockets. But the thing is, these are all basically the same symbol. This is the obelisk of the New Age. It's the symbol of the Earth God that they worship. And you most likely, you don't worship him, but you attend his church. Do you recycle? Do you pay carbon taxes? Do you believe in global warming? Do you fear that if we don't do something to mitigate global warming, anthropogenic global warming, that the globe god will flood the world, like in the days of Noah? Because if you believe all of that, well, then you actually more or less worship their god. Flat Fact says, what is wrong with people? They will believe anything, especially doom, gloom, and scary. Well, I don't know if it's entirely their fault. You see, I think everything that you see in the news is unbelievable, but it's rendered believable through the breaking down of the Overton window, you know, the window of discourse, where things that are outside the realm of possibility suddenly become feasible. Because we're inundated with it, albeit through fiction, but it's always there. Like the story about Adam Lanza kicking down the door and shooting 27 people with 27 headshots, perfect score, and then taking himself out. Okay, that is unbelievable. But if you played first-person shooter video games for a few months, yeah, it's believable. In fact, you'd probably think you could do better. So I think they use video games, they use movies, they use comics, all to stretch our, or rather to shape our expectations, maybe even to give us a fantastical worldview so that things that are pure fantasy seem realistic to me. I was watching a little bit of the contention between Flat Earth, Orphis, and Mick Toons. So Mick Toons is a debater. He likes to debate against the Flat Earthers. And Jake the Orifice is a guitar player, comedian, van lifer, activist, former flat earther, but definitely calls out the fake space stuff. And he got into it with Simon Dan when he said that Jeff Bezos' rocket was fake. Now, we know it's fake. But the thing is, well, when I say we, I mean those of you who've paid attention to it. It's fake until proven real, unless you just totally have accepted the burden of proof if you're an auto believer. But you know, if you critically look at it, you have to say it's eminently fakeable at a minimum. So he's just pointing out that why don't we have any continuous footage? Supposedly they're floating in 0G for 4 minutes. Well, 4 minutes, that could be blissful. What would you do up there at the top of the world for 4 minutes? Well, all we get is a choppy edit where they're throwing Skittles in each other's mouths. Awkwardly, I might add, if you look at the footage where Oliver Demon, the 18-year-old, is upside down on the ceiling doing this. I don't know what you'd call it. Like, he's doing the splits, but he's on the ceiling. And so his head is basically between his legs, and Jeff Bezos is throwing orange balls in his mouth. Like some bizarre 0G twister miniature golf game. So it didn't look like they were actually up there looking at the world so fragile. It just looked bogus. And so Simon Dan, his mind is blown. How can you not believe it? Because video is proof in his mind. McToon defends that. Jake hits back. Anyway, they're beefing. Just leave it at that for the most part, except to say this. There are people who literally don't understand basic video editing, and they see video as absolute evidence. We call them auto believers. It's almost like you got your five senses, and then you have another sensory apparatus. It's the screen. It's the monolith, the black screen, your smartphone, the curated reality that they give you. And that takes precedent over everything else. And to me, if that's the case, if you're such a mind that you're mediated to such a degree that all of your perceptions are filtered through their computer models and their screen, then you're on the other side of it. You're basically in the TV. You're inside the monolith. You've already made the transition of David Bowman in Space Odyssey from, Spacefarer into the merging with the monolith. And I think that's what Kubrick was talking about. I believe that the symbol in 2001 Space Odyssey of the monolith, which has made an appearance recently at NATO with the digital monolith, I believe the story there is the story of the centralization of all media and therefore all minds. As all minds are mediated from the monolithic centralized media. Or it will be, as soon as they finish this war on information, the war on memes, they're still fighting the infodemic. If you didn't notice, the real purpose behind the fake demic was to attack, or rather suppress, the infodemic. The infodemic isn't just conspiracy theories or right-wing memes. No, the infodemic actually refers to the internet itself, the free flow of information that's not entirely regulated. Salty Siren says, let's cancel Greta. She's appropriating and fetishizing people with vitiligo. I don't know what disease that is. I was talking about her acting abilities, and I was thinking, and if you want to call in and clarify, but I was thinking about her acting abilities because she's up there screaming blah 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 at the world. And I'm looking at, and I'm like, if they ever do another sequel, another movie in the series of Child's Play with Chucky the doll, I think I know who could play Chucky in the next iteration. Okay, let's get back to the topic about McToon for just a moment and Jake Gibson. So they don't really debate. Jake doesn't actually debate these people as I have, or he won't even get on the phone with them. They do this back and forth through their channels, which might be smarter because then they send each other over to each other's channels, and it might be better. It depends. If you like that kind of contention, he seeks it. Now, he's not wrong. But I think he was flustered. I think that he was flustered in that, I mean, he used the word stupid to describe Simon Dan, and I wouldn't call him stupid. I wouldn't call any of these individuals. To me, that's too dismissive, and it's missing the point here. The point is that some people, actually, I should say 99.9% of the population, have actually accepted the burden of proof for extraordinary claims. We're not talking about the regular, mundane, everyday news. We're talking about extraordinary claims. And the more extraordinary the claim, the bigger the lie, the less likely that people are going to question it. That's one of the things that has really become clear to me since 2020. No, Greta needs to be canceled, I think, for misanthropy, but these people who want to see the human race depopulated or whatever, they need to go first, but they never seem to volunteer that. But another thing that's clear to me too, now that we're almost into 2022, is that there is no Vaxxageddon. There's not going to be a mass depopulation. The whole purpose of this was to, one, purify the doctrines, the monolith, the media, the Bible of the day is your TV and the televised reality. They're purifying their doctrines. They're getting rid of non-canonical texts. They're shadow banning and digitally burning the heretics. So I think that the forced vax threats are fake. I think they're just as fake as the school shooter threats. I think the world is now part of the church of COVIDiocy. And even Fox News's Tucker Carlson has made all these points. A lot of people have. A lot of people are aware that this is actually a cult, but I have to make the point that this is not hyperbole. It's not hyperbole, that this is a new religion. And I think that we're not seeing depopulation, we're seeing conversion. In fact, I saw someone on Twitter talking about how many people are voluntarily maintaining the masks, which I'm fine with. I don't care. It's all about, to me, I'm for free speech, freedom of religion. And freedom of religion says you're free to be a part of this church with your hand sanitizer, holy water, and your angry flood god globe, Gaia, whatever you want to call it. Oh, and the next thing, and this is just right on time, fits within the bigger script, is the AI god to come. This is trending all day. So we've been talking about this for some time, how the digital monolith and this Gaia with the World Economic Forum, they have this thing called Gaia, which is, Gaia is a couple of things. It's a personification of the earth. It's the worship of the earth. But here you have this new initiative, the Global AI Action Alliance, or Gaia, which is all about bringing about some sort of paradise that's more or less, I guess, organized or centrally dictated by this AI intelligence. Something to replace government, perhaps. And that's all very much consistent with this bigger pattern that we're seeing. But listen to this. The reality is we're creating God. An interview with a Silicon Valley super geek who believes we face an apocalyptic threat from AI. Now, a couple of things about AI that I want to talk about, and as it relates to apocalyptic threats. Okay, so, and then one other thing. We've been talking about the metascript, the big picture, and history repeating, and how 1969 seems to be a template for 2021 in several key ways, as 2020 reflected 68 in many key ways. Not just events in the news, but also things in the media, I mean, the movies, things the celebrities did, a lot of things. And we've talked about this at length, but more recently, for example, 1969's space race was repeated in 2021. Even the Manson killings had a corollary here this year on the anniversary date, which we've talked about a few times. We even had the launching of Bezos's rocket on the anniversary of Apollo 11, another thing from 69. But something else from 69, you had ARPANET, when they finally started connecting computers. And I think that that might relate to today, which is the probably the merging of people and computers. But there's this other part of it too, and this is actually something that seemed to have been foreshadowed in a David Bowie song, which ties into everything here. It really does. Because this David Bowie song, The Savior Machine, 1969, you have this song about a President Joe giving over control of the world to a quote, savior machine. In other words, a computer that can keep peace, keep everyone fed, etc. So it just seems like this is on time. So again, the reality is we're creating an AI god. interview with this super geek. Nothing new here. Stuff that Musk has been saying for some time. I'll probably go more into detail about it later. But I want to focus for a moment here on the AI part of it. So with AI, of course, A is 1, I is 9. And I'm not heavily into numerology, but the news media is. The witches and warlocks that run the mass media are obsessed with this stuff, and we can prove it. But let's look at apocalyptic events or major transformative psychodramas. We have Pearl Harbor, major catalyzing event, was actually called Operation AI. You had 9/11, which of course took 19 hijackers, so 1-9 is AI. 19 years later, you have COVID-19, again, AI. So then you have the reset. And now we're looking at the post-reset and all the talk at the World Economic Forum, who really made the term reset a thing, is this global AI initiative, which is meant to change the world. So global AI, there you go, that's another 19. So it just seems that the next major transformative psyop has something to do with whatever they're talking about when they discuss AI and major cybersecurity threats. And it's all tied in. I believe the cyberspace is tied in with outer space when it comes to space wars. So somehow it's integrated. Just another thread I'm following here. A number of people have sent me some interesting links. I'll be going through all of these. A number of people have noticed this thing about Joe Biden not even hiding the fact that they're on a stage. Still trying to figure out where that was filmed. Okay, now this is bad. This is the one of the worst things on the internet. The vax scene. Here you have Stephen Colbert dancing with a lot of people in vaccine needle costumes. And this is, I guess it's meant to be entertaining. I have a few questions about this thing. For one thing, I mean, Stephen Colbert, is he a good dancer? I don't know. The song's Tequila, they replaced Tequila with Vaccine. It's cringy as heck. So they're all celebrating like idiots, dancing around, prancing around because of vaccines. But I'm thinking here, who needs to hear this? And do the people that need to hear this need to be entertained by the idea? Or is this type of stuff just convincing the people who are already sold on it? It just doesn't seem like this would be very effective over the skeptics. And I mean, it's a cringe fest. It's hard on the eyes. It's hard on the mind. It's going to be hard to forget. It's that bad. But one of the things I want to point out here, and nobody seems to have noticed this, is that for a full 2 minutes, you got Stephen Colbert dancing with all these needles, and not one person in the audience is wearing a mask. I don't see a single mask. Nobody's social distanced. So we're supposed to believe that this vaccine is a matter of life or death for humanity, that the only way we can return to normal is everybody takes this thing. We have to maintain distancing and masking, etc., especially indoors. Well, it's being contradicted by its greatest proponents. Like every religion. Like every religion, its own adherents cannot live up to its tenets. Cringe fest for sure, says Finbar. Yup, exactly. Flat Fact says the great great grandchildren are going to cringe. Hello, future, we're so sorry. Yeah, hopefully they don't erase those of us who weren't with it. This was almost as bad as Bill Nye's sex junk. In the same category. It's just in poor taste. All right, let us continue. I mean, this whole vax cult thing, fetishizing a simple medical procedure. A superstar Russian actress flying to the ISS next week. We'll be keeping an eye on that. No word exactly on when Tom Cruise is going. Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall reveals a Chinese threat, global strike from space. So that's on the horizon. And I don't know if this was meant to leak. The article by BreakingDefense.com implies that he inadvertently revealed a Chinese threat in the form of kinetic weapons. Says, the Chinese threats include precision weapons with steadily increasing range, including the potential for global strikes and strikes from space. Someone else in the room said, I'm surprised he got clearance to mention it. And this was a signal to the Chinese, the source believes. It says there is a potential for weapons to be launched into space. This is an old concept from the Cold War called the Fractional Orbital Bombardment System, which basically goes into orbit and deorbits to a target. So this is what's next. It's been discussed. Nothing new here, but I think it's just foreshadowing this idea of kinetic weapons and space wars. I think that we may get our space war, but I don't think it's going to be Martians. I think it's going to be a little more mundane. YouTube cracks down on anti-vaccine misinformation. I'm not sure how much worse they can get. I mean, you can't even joke about it. But apparently, they're going to crack down on it even further, eliminating big channels that spread, quote, misinformation. As far as what misinformation is, it's very vague. You could take everything Fauci said in early 2020. It would be misinformation by today's standards. A YouTube spokesperson said channels of well-known vaccine misinformation spreaders will be terminated, naming Joseph Mercola, as well as Robert F. Kennedy. Yeah, Robert F. Kennedy is a big voice in the anti-vax movement. And he's also a defender of Saran Saran, who he says was not responsible for the murder of RFK, but that was actually done by the CIA. Whole family of conspiracy theorists there. And by the way, I haven't mentioned this much recently because I'm just tired of them moving the goalposts, but the QAnon crew, the Kool-Aid drinkers, actually still do believe that JFK Jr. is about to pop his head out somewhere very soon. And even more unbelievable, JFK himself. So get ready for your 105-year-old undead president. What's he going to look like at 105? And supposedly there's some kind of royalty. That's the whole point of it, if you follow their story, which makes me wonder, what about RFK and these others? You think they would be given a little more deference than, you know, being censored? I don't want to play her video again, Greta's blah, blah, blah video. I really don't. It's already made the rounds. I think everybody here has heard it. Does anybody here want to hear it? The Greta Thunblah. A little more cringe, but we'll just go ahead and play it.
There is no planet blah, 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 hugging, or blah, blah, blah.
I'm trying to figure out, could there be another meaning to this? You know, like build back better. The three B's are sixes. You know, could there be another meaning to it? So I actually looked it up in the Gematria calculator. What does blah, blah, blah add up to? Let me go ahead and pull that up.
Blah, blah, blah. 50, blah, blah, blah. Net zero, blah, blah, blah. Climate neutral, blah, blah, blah. 30 years of blah, blah, blah. What do we want?
Justice.
When do we want it?
Now.
Okay, here we go. So, blah, blah, blah adds to 33 in septenary. So there you have it, blah, blah, blah in Gematria. Look at the online calculator. Adds to 30. Every blah is an 11, in other words. Flat Fact says, first time seeing it, the horror. Oh, yeah, it's pretty bad. It shows you, though, that she's trying to play up this idea of a youth rebel, which is what made her famous, you know, but she's like a child star reprising a role that she's outgrown. I'm expecting college-level dissertations on how to save the whales from her after all the time she spent with such luminaries like John Kerry, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Al Gore. But no, she's playing up this petulant child thing. Not impressed. I'm just not impressed at all. the animatronic avatar of Al Gore. Just out for the clicks. Kind of like when she used the F word. Didn't she use the F word recently? Let me bring that up. Greta Thunberg. F word. I know she F-bombed. Okay, here it is. God, there's so many of these. This is a manufactured character, obviously. Well, anyway, I don't want to dwell too long on it. I just wanted to bring this up. It adds to 33. Does it mean anything? I don't know. She's a puppet. I was watching some of her mother's opera performances. And that could be another side to it, too. Maybe she has some kind of... I don't want to psychoanalyze her too much, but, you know, her mother's an opera singer. You know, beautiful family. She's obviously... I'm talking about her mother. I think she speaks multiple languages. We're talking about very high achievers. And, you know, Greta's kind of a... You know, maybe she's kind of a... I don't want to say a runt, but compared to her parents, she has a lot to live up to. And maybe she's angry. And she wants to get back by burning the whole system down. Kind of like Bill Gates. You can't say there's not a revenge motive in there somewhere. Maxwell Cooper says, market research thought the F word would play well. Well, look, it's gloves off with any of these propagandists. It really is. And the reason why is that they're the ones who are behind the type of medical tyranny that says you can't go visit your grandma. I mean, it's just so damn petty. It's petty and it's based on lies and the censorship. Well, that's just very much... Look, first they burn books, then they burn people. And if you listen to the rhetoric, they're ready for that. I'm surprised they haven't rolled out the Soylent Green yet. Soylent Red is a step in that direction. If you're not familiar with Soylent Red, they want to grind you up into bricks. They want to send you to space and have you ground up with the moon dust and spat out as bricks. Like the moon's going to look like a bloody Minecraft game. Bunch of blood igloos. Blood mud igloos. It's going to look like a scene out of Doom. You know, one of these really grotesque video games. Who thinks of this stuff? Who would ever think? I mean, whoever wrote Soylent Green, which, by the way, the movie takes place in 2022. Soylent Green is basically about society cannibalizing itself, literally. Eating people. And I think today they would start with the conspiracy theorists. Like, if we were to go that direction, if society was to go Soylent Green, who do you think they would eat first? All right, let us continue going through some comments here. Ryler05 said, on January 13th, 113 Air Florida fell from the sky into Washington, D.C., Lenny Sputnik was the hero. Okay, I'll look into this. Strange accidents, things with weird numbers I'm always interested in looking into. So 113, and it was 113 Air Florida falling. Okay, fascinating. You know, there's quite a lot, actually, to these dates. January 19th, very important date. That's the date that patient zero came down with symptoms for COVID-19 before he turned himself into an ER in Seattle. Seattle, of course, was ground zero for the pandemic here in... They declared a pandemic once it was verified here, and it was there in Seattle. But patient zero, 119, like a reverse 9/11. Very common. I think that was the release date of Donnie Darko, which is a movie about stuff falling from the sky, and a movie that has a lot of 9/11 references and Corona references, Donald Trump references, time travel, all kinds of interesting things in Donnie Darko. We'll have to go through a lot of these movies again here very soon, just to show, because we analyze the news quite a lot, you know, the predictive programming in the news media, but it's deep in all of the movies and comics. Okay, another crewed flight of the New Shepard vehicle. There's going to be a lot happening, actually, in October. You've got William Shatner. You got the Russians filling the movie in space. Bezos is sending another crew up there. So it's quite a lot. I'm not sure if Tom Cruise is going to make it, but I'm keeping my eyes up. Okay, so David Hogg says, and this is a tweet, I remember growing up and having my dad go for weeks as an employee of the federal government without pay. These shutdowns hurt real families. For those who say he shouldn't have gone to work, he was an FBI agent, so that wasn't an option. Interesting. So does David Hogg ever have to work without pay? Is there overlap between a lot of these crisis actors and these intelligence agencies? It just seems like if you hired a regular actor, like an SAG actor, they might blow the whistle for money. So something is keeping these crisis actors from actually spilling, blowing the whistle on any of these things. We're coming up on the anniversary of the Las Vegas event, and I can tell you how that was fake in a number of different ways. Just the fact that Eminem did a terrible music video about it should tell you it was fake. But 50 of the same people that were shot at in Vegas were shot at again 13 months later at a different country music festival, a bar. It's like a concert or something. But imagine 50 of the same people who are shot at one country music thing get shot up at a different one in another state. And maybe you can accept that as okay, that's an acceptable coincidence. All right, well, what if we add into this that next door to the second shooting, like less than a mile away, there was a drill going on for a mass shooting event. The drill involved 50 crisis actors, and this was in the news. So you had a drill, a simulated mass murder, going on down the street from the real thing. And the drills are actually based, this drill that they were doing was based on Vegas. So the survivors of Vegas were getting shot at again, while a group of actors, unbeknownst to them, were reliving and reenacting the original trauma, the original massacre. Like, that's just too much to me. It's just too many coincidences. Then you throw into it, you got people like Brandon Kelly, who saved lives at both events, and he supposedly applied a tourniquet to somebody. Well, not a tourniquet, his belt. He used his belt as a tourniquet and managed not to get a single drop of blood on himself. Maxwell Cooper says, doesn't David Hogg play Kamala's daughter for red carpet events? Let me take a look. Oh, yes, that's correct. Kamala Harris's daughter does have a striking resemblance to David Hogg. I think if you just added glasses. Are there any other differences? I can't see any other differences between the two. By the way, Kamala Harris might be somebody else. If you go by that video yesterday where she's got this hood, looks like she's got a hood on. Like literally, it looks like her neck's not all the way on. Like somebody needs, you know how your collar sometimes flipped up, you got to have it flipped down. Well, somebody needs to go behind Kamala Harris and pull her neck all the way down. Or whoever is pretending to be Kamala. All right, let's roll on here. I apologize for the image on the screen. It's a close-up of Nancy Pelosi. Somebody zoomed in on the eyes, suggesting that you're looking at a mask. And it does look like it. You can see a line. It's difficult to tell with the lighting, but nothing would shock me at this point. Now, who would be wearing that disguise? I don't know. Zickatick Canine says, made this track in 1995, didn't use computers and sequencers. This is an industrial band from Canada. Sounds like today's concerns. We weren't happy with the state of North America. Feel the same. Okay, thanks for the link. I'll cue that one. Okay, Kyrie Irving is leading a contingency of basketball players who are against the vax. I happen to think this guy is being paid to play the role of the designated misinformation guy so they can make an example out of him. But look at this. Irving, who serves as a vice president on the executive committee of the Players Union, recently started following and liking Instagram posts from a conspiracy theorist who claims that secret societies are implanting vaccines in a plot to connect black people to a master computer. It's a plan of Satan. And this is from heavy.com. So I had not heard about Kyrie Irving's theory about the plan of Satan, but that somehow the plan of Satan is the reason why he is not for the thing, the jab. Kyrie Irving has been following and liking. So they're actually shaming him for following and liking. Now, I just want to point this out in case any of you follow my Twitter or Instagrams or anything. A follow or a like or a retweet is not an endorsement. I happen to earmark things. I want to look at something later. I'll heart the thing. Doesn't mean I like it. Irving is following and liking posts that claim that secret societies are implanting microchips to connect people to a computer. Like they would need that anyway. I mean, you have your smartphone. You can't tell me you're against microchips if you've got a damn smartphone. And I really don't believe that Kyrie Irving is doing anything other than playing a role. And he was rewarded handsomely after the flat earth thing, where he served as a bad example for that particular cause. You know, misinformation reaching the children. He was given his own brand of shoes. So, you know, it looks to me like there's some type of a payoff for him. Before we get any further, I brought this up yesterday. We have a lot of new designs from our designer X. He's the one who, he's been pretty much doing all of our penguin designs that you see on the apparel. Well, anyway, we've been putting together a collection. He prints everything at his place. He has his own equipment there, decals and everything. So there's a link in the chat, or if you just go to darkmatter.radio, it's the featured collection. We have about a dozen different designs. These are all kind of limited, but of course I can take pre-orders, but they're going to go fast. The decals, these will, but I'll get them replaced and I'll resupply as quickly as I can. For example here, these are all based on the Unicursal penguins. If you're not familiar with these, if you look at any of these drawings, it's just a single line. This is the penguin with the wrench, the moderator, metallic silver decal. Again, if anything here sells out before you get to it, there will be more. More of these. These are all fine to put on windows, put on your phones. I put some of these in the back of my laptop. We have bumper stickers as well as a whole grip of shirt designs that you probably haven't seen. Some of these designs you've seen in the stickers, if you're on DLive, we've had them put on shirts. And also you'll see that the designer X33 puts a lot of time and effort into the, well, everything about it, but even the tags. You'll probably want to even keep the tags. So anyway, that's all I have to say about that. We also have one more of the Penguin Party. These are foil, red, white, and blue. Links in the chat. All right, there you go. I'm also going to put the links in the newsletter. Frontman242 says, how much did I miss? Yeah, we started late tonight. We started about 48 minutes ago. I've been up late working on some legal paperwork. I don't really care to talk about it that much. I feel like it's a waste of time. The whole point to suing the person was to stop them from wasting my time. And I would say mission accomplished. And it kind of worked out perfectly. And I don't want to say too much now because I know they're listening and I know their attorneys are listening. But I win regardless, because the thing is, I'm suing somebody for defamation. This is a longtime stalker of mine going back to 2017. And this person had long said, if you ever try to sue me, I'll countersue. So I knew there'd be some retaliation. Well, the countersuit is suing me for defamation. Well, oddly enough, all of the arguments used to defend his own website against claims of defamation work both ways. So I don't see it going anywhere, except that now that he's countersuing, he's obliged to take down all of his defamatory content about me. You can't sue somebody for defamation if you're presently engaging in a character assassination attack against them. So he's going to have to clean up his act in order to sue me. And I don't have anything published about him. So, you know, good luck. And even if someone is able to win, good luck proving damages. Show me where the memes hurt you. And what memes? What can you point to? But anyway, the whole point of it, and I want to say thanks to everyone who helped me actually get the thing filed and find the person and sue him, is that it stopped a pattern of behaviors that were very disruptive. And this is, you know, early in the summer, where this individual started emailing guests, former guests, prospective guests, advertisers, and an employer, and spreading just defamatory content that cannot really be defended. And so because of the lawsuit, I did get a lot of that stuff taken down. Well, anyway, I'm supposed to be in court tomorrow in about 9 hours or something. And, you know, I filed a motion to appear remotely. And if they don't let me appear remotely, it's going to be a problem, because I don't see myself driving that far over a petty civil suit. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say on it, but I want to say thanks to everyone for helping me win the thing, because it's a win, however it goes, even if it doesn't go my way, because I'm just going to obviously continue doing what I'm doing here with one less troll. And trolls can do damage long term. You have to think about that. But, you know, one of the things it taught me too, though, was that if you put a little bit of effort into search engine optimization, it almost doesn't matter what other people say. All right, let's go ahead and continue. I have a few other posts I wanted to go through, but I did want to make sure that we put this content out there, because the individual who's printing these is essentially an independent business, and so you're supporting somebody's print business and supporting Infinite Plane Radio, and we're getting a lot of interesting content out there, and we're not paying a middleman, which I'm fine with a lot of these print-on-demand companies, but you actually do lose quite a bit. Okay, let's see what else we have going on. Tucker Carlson says, Biden wants to force boosters on people every Sunday, the cult of coronavirus. I don't think he stole it from us. I think that a lot of people are arriving at these conclusions, finally. A year too late. Better late than never? Not really. I think it's too late. Tucker calls the governor of New York the archdiocese of the corona cult. Let's look at this story too a little bit about the Chinese space junk. This happened on... Okay, do you remember I mentioned how Donnie Darko was released on 119? And it's about stuff falling from the sky. Well, the piece of Chinese space junk that was randomly going to crash somewhere on Earth a few months ago, that was from a launch, a Chinese rocket launch, that had taken off on the 119th day of the year. That was pointed out by Jurassic Liars. Again, just very consistent. So I'm not surprised here, though, that China, again, is center stage with another falling object. And this, I'm not sure what's happened with it yet, but this is what they've said. They're confirming the satellite failure. They claim the spacecraft was not functioning as expected and had been lost after a normal flight the day before. So this is, again, a Chinese satellite. It was their second launch of the day. They released a statement, it wasn't functioning as expected. Shortly after liftoff, they saw a flash in the sky. So they know that it went into orbit, but that's about it. So we'll see. It says the rocket failed to deliver the satellite into orbit, then it successfully did. We'll see. Just heads up. The spacecraft is reported to have entered orbit successfully at, this is on Tuesday the 28th. Well, we'll see. Again, it's coming from China. And I don't think that this is a coincidence either. I think this is part of the script, because look at the story with Wuhan. So whatever your thoughts about the pandemic and all this, we talk about, you know, my contention is that it's all just a psy war. But the storyline is that it's the result of negligence from who? China. So it's a weapon of mass destruction story. Now you have another example here of negligence with the space junk. And it seems that that's coming back again. That's a similar story. Chinese satellite declared lost following back-to-back launches. And this might not be unrelated. 32,000 mile per hour fireballs spotted over North Carolina. It says more than 80 people spotted a fireball, which NASA says was one of five such meteors reported soaring over the United States that night. They say meteors, but again, who knows? Stuff from above. CGI. Just as likely CGI. You know, I think it's a problem too, by the way. I think it's a problem that people do, in fact, take video as evidence just because it's on a screen. It's a form of, I'd almost say that people have become visually illiterate, where they can't tell the difference between real and fake if it's on a screen. I would put a lot of these hardline anti-flat earthers into that category. And it's not just they're anti-flat earthers. I mean, before that, they were probably, I don't know. Flat earthers really seem to have brought something out. It really brought out the TV thumpers. Like, you know what a Bible thumper is, right? Somebody who basically hits you over the head with the Bible as, this is my source, this is the authority, you can't question the source. Well, with these hardline anti-flat earthers, you do have what I would call screen thumping, TV thumping. I mean, it's the same thing. This is my authority. And, you know, you question it and it's tantamount to blasphemy. All right, look at this. RT.com. Elon Musk mocking Bezos' phallic rocket. What is with this billionaire blimp club beefing all the time over nothing? And Musk is making the claim that Bezos is litigious, that you can't sue your way into space. But I think that Musk is equally as litigious if you actually look at the record here. It's all theater, though. And they certainly have people's attention. And I'm certain that's the point. I think that they have us all watching up above for whatever's going to happen next. And every time I check the headlines, it's cracks in the space station. Again, I don't think it's a coincidence that Musk and Grimes had a split. I think we're seeing a story unfold. Cracks on the space station are serious. A fairly serious issue. That's another interesting term here. You know, the dog star is called Sirius, and that's the initiatory star. It's the one that falls from the sky in the Truman Show before the entire thing, the entire false worldview starts falling apart. The word Sirius, though, in this context is interesting. Just because it's generally, to me, I think that is a double meaning here. Like, for example, why so serious? The Joker says, why so serious? And the Joker is saying this on The Dark Knight Rises, a movie that came out on the eve of the shooting in Aurora, Colorado. And you have the dog star, you know, rising kind of as a backdrop to this. You know, serious, the dog star, in other words. And I think these are references to the star, which has a very significant meaning within the secret societies, specifically Freemasonry, obviously, but even within all the rest of these various cults and even the mainstream one. You may not recognize this. Most of us probably have celebrated on New Year's Eve some kind of revelry, some kind of countdown at midnight. Well, at midnight on New Year's Eve, the dog star has reached its highest point in the course of the year, after which it falls. So on New Year's, you're actually paying homage to the Masonic Dog Star, the Blazing Star, the star they worship. And then, well, my point being, it's you wouldn't know this if you weren't in their cult, but nonetheless, you're there participating globally. Okay, let's see here. No, I was referring to Elon Musk's space junk crash from the last event. Maxwell Cooper says, why hasn't Oliver Demon been on the press circuit? The youngest person in space. Yeah, I think he paid $28 million for the, I guess the honor of awkwardly being splayed against the ceiling of a cramped capsule while Jeff Bezos threw orange balls in his mouth. $28 million for that. I wonder why he's not going around talking about it on the press circuit. Tomanoid says, Joker calls himself a mad dog and sticks his head out the window like a dog. Feeds crim to his dogs and sicks them on Batman. Okay, well, Joker is being played by, well, in the newest iteration, by Joaquin Phoenix. And there's a few things he does that I think are worth calling attention to. Like at the end of the Joker movie, he apparently dies. It looks like he dies. He's in an accident where he's in the back of a cop car. And then at a crossroads, you know, a cross, it's hit by an ambulance. So he's unconscious. He's taken out of the ambulance by his mob. And he's put on the trunk, or the hood rather, of the cop car with his arms out like Jesus. So he looks like he's dead. But, you know, Joaquin Phoenix, and the name Phoenix, of course, implies resurrection. And you see this in a lot of movies with him. You know, he even played Jesus in a movie. But look at the end of The Village, where he's unconscious. He's in a vegetative state until they, at the end, presumably resurrect him. It's a common thing with this actor. And it ties into the significance of his name. The occult significance of names is very obvious to see in movies. So in The Joker, he's at a crossroads. He's splayed out on this cop car. And then he wakes up. And so the mob of individuals with the clown masks are surrounding him, and he's kind of like a leader to them. So he stands up and he puts his bloody hands to his mouth, and he paints himself a bloody smile, and then he puts his hands out. So his hands are out, palms bleeding like a stigmata, and he's posing like Jesus, and then he's being adulated by the crowd after he just rose from the dead. They do this stuff a lot. Joaquin Phoenix is constantly being portrayed in this way. They use the Christ iconography with this character, which makes perfect sense if you look at the symbolism of the phoenix as it relates to Christ, especially in the early days of Christianity. But these things are synonymous. I would even go further and say that the Joker and the Joker clown mask represents, especially now, in the Joker movie, Joker's followers, the mob that were inspired by his actions. You know, he's like a revolutionary of sorts because he shoots the rich guys. So this is a kill the rich communist revolution movie. And the revolutionaries put on masks, but they're clown masks, not Antifa masks. So they're all wearing these clown masks and the revolution kicks off. And I look at the Joker as a very mercurial character, you know, like Mercury. And so in some ways, you know, he's a trickster, more or less. But I think that the COVID thing, I think that the symbolism here is that, yes, we're seeing a revolution and that we're all putting on the clown mask together, taking part in the revolution, wittingly or not. You could be ignorantly strung along, taking part in the burning down of, well, everything that constitutes freedom. You know, you could acquiesce to a tyrannical system out of sheer ignorance, I think. I think most people do. The road to hell being paved with great intentions. And so I think that's what we're seeing, though. I think that the world has been clowned, and the medical mask is the clown face mask. It's basically a dunce cap on the face. But I think the movie predicted a lot of these things. The Joker movie did predict an insurrection, and this is more of an insurrection if you think about it, than that event on 1/6. I mean, I was talking about this yesterday. I was just going through these headlines about the numbers of people that were snitching on their neighbors for coughing. So let's say the worst case was true, and last year you had an actual death bug just wiping people out. It's good to know that millions of people are just waiting to snitch on everybody that they hate. I mean, there are so many snitches. We don't need foreign invaders. We don't need an alien invasion. We've got each other here. And so many places had to change the system so that 9/11 was just emergencies and 3/11 was to snitch on your neighbors for coughing. Okay, let's see here. I'm going through comments. Now, the Inspiration 4, that's another thing that was being evaluated by McToon in his discussion with about Jake Gibson on the claims made by these space agencies. And they say that the Independence 4 group, or Inspiration 4, that they have about 4 minutes of contiguous footage, or continuous, just one shot. And I've seen it, but I'm sorry, but it's about as believable as what you see with the ISS. It's from one perspective, one mounted camera. And I think the only reason that they have to have a female astronaut with long hair is because it helps to, meet people's expectations about space and what your hair does. But anyway, we're going to be doing a bit of a symposium here in a couple of weeks on the space station and how it's been presented over the years, I mean, 22 years now. Yeah, actually, that's another 22. I have to do another mind map here. So many conspicuous numbers and things that we've been pointing out, but the 22-year blooper reel of the ISS is something that I want to go through in detail. I look at the small cracks found in the ISS. Not sure what exactly is going to happen. Bill Shepard says they're a, quote, fairly serious issue. Like I said, serious is code. I think it's code also for a few things, but space wars, the fissure. I think the crack in the space station could be the fissure between, well, a breakdown of the relationships. You know, the goodwill between the various nations who are all participating in this together. By the way, speaking of the Batman movie, in Dark Knight Rises, and this came out in 2013 or something, there's a scene where Batman is talking to a guy without a mask, a Robin-like character, who says, "I'm not afraid, I don't have to wear a mask." And Batman says, "You don't wear a mask to protect yourself. You wear a mask to protect the people you love." So that's sort of a, I don't know, from the future, straight out of Fauci's mouth. And not only that, then Batman takes a COVID-shaped smoke grenade and throws it towards the, throws it and it blows up like a little mushroom cloud. So we haven't seen the mushroom clouds yet. Well, unless we count those explosions in Beirut on the anniversary of Nagasaki and Hiroshima, the anniversary week. O'Brieck says, "My grandfather was a Freemason. Did he worship Sirius?" Well, let's look into that. If he was a Freemason, then at every lodge, there's a big five-pointed blazing star. So that would have been something he would have been familiar with. The word worship, though. Well, what do you call the master of the lodge? Worshipful master. And this is a symbol of the blazing star. But again, this star also has significance for 9/11, which is the New Year's on the Coptic calendar. But yes, to answer the question, yes, if he was a Freemason, and yes, it is worship. They say they're not a religion, but they're all about the worship. So it's very religious if you ask me. But many of these conspiracy theories or whatever offer very little evidence, just conjecture when they talk about what goes on within the Masonic lodges or whatnot. But what you can say is that there are pretty obvious symbols that are out there in the open, not hard to discern. You know, it's pretty remarkable when you actually look at who's giving who these handshakes or these grips. You know, Kobe Bryant's final earthly interview? It was with Stephen Jackson, George Floyd's twin. Yeah, Floyd had a quote twin in Stephen Jackson. Well, anyway, Stephen Jackson, 42-year-old at the time, was the final interview with Kobe Bryant before Kobe crashed. So you have this connection between Floyd, Kobe, and Jackson that I find to be kind of peculiar. And then, you know, we mentioned Heath Ledger's Joker. You know, after Heath Ledger died, Dark Knight Rises comes out. Well, strangely enough, Kobe Bryant supposedly had dinner with Heath Ledger after the movie premiered, according to Rob Pelinka. So yeah, the Lakers general manager, Rob Pelinka, and yeah, he said that Heath Ledger, that his performance was so powerful that Kobe Bryant met up with Heath Ledger to find out how to get into that character so well. It says here, you may remember a video making the rounds that shows Pelinka addressing his team, and he's standing aside Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and he's sharing an anecdote about the time that Kobe Bryant had dinner with Heath Ledger to talk about his performance in The Joker. Again, this is 6 months after Heath was supposedly found dead. And here is Pelinka talking about this.
And I remember just a really quick story. There was one time when Kobe, who I worked with for 18 years, was going back to play in Madison Square Garden. And he had just seen The Dark Knight. Obviously, you guys saw that movie. And he's like, hey, hook me up with dinner with Heath Ledger, because he got so locked into that role. I want to know how he mentally went there. And so he had dinner with Heath, and he talked about how he locks in for a role. And Kobe used some of that in his game against the Knicks in terms of mental preparation. And so I know for you, your craft, your art, how you've gotten to be number one, and then how you stay there is going to be inspiring. Side of just basketball.
Yeah. All right, so there you have it. Talking to The Rock about how Kobe locked into the role as basketball player by studying Heath Ledger in his role as the Joker. Like, that makes a lot of sense. I'm going to study the Joker, some basket case with horrible makeup, some random, just some unpredictable psychopath, and that'll fix my game. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but Rob Pelinka worked with Kobe for 18 years. What would his incentive be for making that up? I actually don't doubt the story. I think the story's true. I think it's true. I think that Kobe, knowing that his death was going to be faked in early 2020, I think that Kobe said, I need to go talk to Heath and ask him, hey, how'd you do this? This death faking thing looks tough. How do I pull it off? How do you live once you've stepped off the world stage? I actually think that would make sense. Of course you'd want to talk to him, you know, about this transition into the post-world stage life. I don't think Rob was meant to leak it. Okay, look at this here. A couple of examples of predictive programming. And this one here is just so brazen. New 007 James Bond film to be released tomorrow. And here's an unrelated news story that happens to contain hidden promotionals, like subliminal promotionals for James Bond. Let me go ahead and play this clip.
Keep your eye on the background for the truck that's about to drive past and what it says on the side. There we go. Well, also, if you look at the numbers here on the bottom, you can obviously see your 911 there, inverted with a 33, and of course your 007.
Okay, so what you're seeing is while this individual is talking, you see a 007, you see a little subliminal 911, and a truck, a Bond's truck, drives by right behind his head. It just looks to me like, yes, 007, pretty conspicuous. Looks like a little bit of promotion with a van in the background, a little bit of product placement. I think the show, the movie is called A Time to Die. Here's another one. Episode 201 of The Family Guy. Now 201, you should all know that number. Event 201, you live through it in 2020. In episode 201 of The Family Guy, Peter teases about releasing a virus. This is season 11, episode 13. Strange thing is, on Wikipedia, it's listed as episode 12 of season 11. But everywhere else, it's episode 201 of the 13th episode. So my point is, you have 113 and 201. Very significant numbers, and it's all about the release of a vial of, viruses of some kind. A little bioterrorism on a cartoon. Nothing unusual about that. I want to see Shaq do the milk crate challenge after this. Do you all see Shaq do this? I don't know what you call it, crowd surfing. But, you know, he's like 7 feet tall, 300 pounds. Let me play this clip. How did he not get arrested for assault? Basically, Shaq ran up to the stage at a concert, he climbed over something, and he jumped on a lot of people. And then he congratulated himself for doing something he had never done before. Very unusual, but I'm not impressed. I'd like to see him do the crate challenge. If you haven't seen it, this is his own take on it.
I did something I never did before. The diesel just stage dove.
I don't know what's up with that, but anyway, he stage dove. For some reason, it's worth mentioning. I'm just surprised he didn't get sued for assaulting half a dozen people there. Could have flattened him. Maxwell says, Bond was the first major movie to be postponed after 311. Well, 007 is also the code name of John Dee, the magician, court astrologer, for Queen Elizabeth. He was also one of the advisors on these English voyages of exploration. He advised Mercator. Mercator, you look at your globe, your Mercator projection. That would be John D. 007's handiwork, or part of it anyway. The first James Bond, John D., the original 007, not an insignificant figure. While the term British Empire was actually coined by John D. And one other tie-in between John D. and right now is he made use of a black mirror allegedly to communicate with angels or beings of light through this mirror, through a process of scrying. It says here in the 1580s, he turned his attention to the supernatural. Dee began to contact angels through a crystal. In 1582, he met Edward Kelly, and the two of them began pursuing supernatural studies together. They believed they could improve the world. He ended up traveling throughout Europe to consult with high-powered leaders. We're talking about John Dee, who had audiences with the Emperor Rudolf in Prague, King Battery of Poland. He claimed that angels dictated entire books to him. Now, they did this in some language, which you can find in these New Age books. Enochian.
A Santa Barbara man.
I believe it's named for Enoch, the biblical patriarch who talked to angels. Okay, this is a short clip here I want to play. This is about Matthew Coleman. It's from today.
Charged with killing his young children in Mexico, pleaded not guilty today. Matthew Coleman's public defender entered the plea in San Diego federal court. The 40-year-old is in federal custody in Santa Ana with no bail set. The brutal killings happened last month after Coleman took off with his kids from their Santa Barbara home. Authorities say he headed south of the border without his wife's knowledge. Then they say Coleman brutally stabbed the couple's 2-year-old son and 10-month-old daughter to death. His next court appearance is set for November 5th.
All right, November the 5th. We'll look forward to that. Now, for somebody who supposedly killed his family over QAnon conspiracy theories, there's a conspicuous lack of any Q paraphernalia. There's no Qs. There's no MAGA hats. Not a single American flag in any of their photography. You can't find a single thing. It almost looks like his entire family was just pulled out of a magazine, perhaps a Target spread advertising family beachwear. There's nothing here to insinuate an affection for Trump or an obsession with Q. Literally nothing. I think it's 100% made up fake story. That's why I'm so flippant about it. I mean, you're talking about a guy who supposedly killed his family. No, it's a psyop. People get so triggered, you know, by the news because it's such a horrific story, but, you know, it's like, if you want to take that burden on, yeah, by all means, be my guest. But the news is there to engage in psywar on behalf of the government. Here's a quote from Chris Rock, who has COVID-19 right now, talking about AIDS. He says, "They ain't going to cure it. The money's in the medicine. That's how you get paid. Sick people coming back, that's how you get paid. Curing it is like making a Cadillac that lasts for 50 years. There's no money in that." Chris Rock, 1999, explaining why there's no cure for AIDS. A former Notre Dame professor who said, "Damn the unvaccinated for being selfish. You know, unvaccinated deserve to go to hell." Anyway, he died after receiving his third shot. Yep, this is a Gateway pundit, former Notre Dame professor who said, quote, "Damn, the unvaccinated dies 2 weeks after receiving the third COVID shot." Now, is he going to make the Herman Cain list over there at Reddit where they're listing all of these people who are dying? No, of course not. You know, the left is celebrating the death of those on the right who die of COVID for refusing to get the vax or being vax hesitant. Well, here you have somebody who followed all the rules. He took his 3 shots and, well, he died. He said he attacked people as being selfish. Oh, after she received her 3rd vaccine. Well, good for her. Because it's selfish to breathe. It's selfish to consume fossil fuels, to contribute to global warming, possible floods. It's selfish to be a super spreader. It's not even sustainable for this many people to exist in the world. So I'd have to say that this professor did a good thing, very unselfish, by leaving. Oh, this has got to be a hoax. 67-year-old Karen Croak. Croak Heisler. Karen Croaked. Received a first jab on January the 13th. She says, "Just got my first dose. Never been happier to be old. Let's get these rolling for everyone." All right, anyway, not the best salesperson for the thing, no. All right, let's see here. How many boosters has our friend Stephen Colbert had? Can we just get him his 3rd booster already? Yeah, he needs a few. His audience members aren't wearing masks. Maybe he ought to get 4. All right, let's see here. We have a little more incendiary rhetoric from Marjorie Taylor Greene. And the only reason I pay attention to this is that this is going to be used to lend credence to whatever patsy they set up to do something totally fake and blame it on anybody even closely or marginally affiliated with her. If you follow her on Instagram, you'll be on the net as an insurrectionist after the next big psyop. And they're going to say it was inspired or incited by rhetoric like this.
"I just want to say to Nancy Pelosi, she's a hypocrite, she's an anti-American, and we're going to kick that bitch out of Congress."
Anyway, as you can hear. Daily Mail, Joe Rogan likens anti-American COVID vaccine mandates to Nazi concentration camps. Not quite sure what to make about that yet. Rogan, of course, is something of, I believe he's a fall guy. I think that Rogan and many others out there who seem to be challenging the system, I think a lot of these individuals are put there on purpose just to serve as an example. An example of people who have too much power because of unregulated free speech. I think Kyrie Irving and Joe Rogan are two of the same in this sense. I think they're both voluntarily playing along with the structured takedown of free speech as we know it. Not Alex Shepard says the White House film set is Castle Rock Pictures Entertainment, used in a multitude of movies and TV shows like Nixon, The West Wing, and The American President. Yeah, someone had pointed out that the scene, like the stage where Joe Biden got his booster, that if you look at the windows, there's actually two different suns. Obviously it's fake and staged. Now, was this filmed in Castle Rock? I don't think so. I think that's kind of the wrong interpretation of this. I mean, obviously they have a room set aside for PR stunts. So we could say it's a PR stunt. And I think we can call into question whether or not he actually got a booster. But no, if this wasn't at the White House, then all of these people here are complicit in some type of charade. And I don't think that's the case. But it may as well be. I mean, it is. I'm glad that people are finally contemplating the whole thing that, yes, we're looking at a stage, but it's not just the White House, is my point. It's not just the White House that's potentially Castle Rock or some stage. No, everything on TV is the stage. Okay, let's see here. Going through comments. Flatfact says he's probably in front of a green screen video. Right. You know, if he's even who he says. You know, I look at the ears. You got Lobes Biden and No Lobes Biden. You want to tell me it's the same person? I don't think so. All right. I think we've covered most of the things I wanted to get into. I haven't had an answer yet as to whether or not excessive hair growth around the vax tracks is a common symptom. But yeah, I was looking at other pictures, and when Biden got his first jab, he didn't have this healthy head of hair on his anterior deltoid. So that could be another side effect, but got to be careful about saying that. They'll censor you. Can't even point out the obvious anymore. All right, this has been fun. We'll be back probably earlier tomorrow. In fact, I'm starting a few new projects. This lawsuit thing that I talked about earlier wasted some valuable time, but that's all over with, and we have a lot more things to look forward to. And I'm actually looking forward to the space station possibly crashing into Seattle. Looking forward to whatever happens in the next 3 months to justify whatever they're going to do next. I'm expecting it to be entertaining at a minimum. Interesting times. Still eagerly awaiting the UFO invasion. And who's to say the UFOs aren't going to come from below? All that misdirection. You know, they're always pointing up. What makes you think that they're not just going to open up the ground and start swallowing people up? Anyway, this is The Masquerade, JT33, featuring Symbia.
You have now entered the New World Order's AI construct, where nothing is as it seems. Your dreams and aspirations have been selected for you. All that makes you who you are was predetermined by the now functioning AI. Free thought is no longer an option. We now have control over all things, including the very thoughts we allow you to have. Do not try to resist. Welcome to the Masquerade.
Stay. reality is some sort of illusionary grid that we're living in. Still, I'm entrenched in the thought that my thoughts are my own and I'm giving in. Tired of living with hypnotic psychosis, of going through all of the social media motions. I don't care what you're posting in. Keep on scrolling through all of the propaganda. Keep on showing support, you're giving them the upper hand. You can find any info to support any truth that you want to pursue it. Truth is subjective, I'm being selective and choosing the path, and I knew it. Welcome to the masquerade. We're playing charades where the world has been staged like a play. The play is on the people, either you wake up or succumb to the evil.
I live in a world where nothing's what it seems. Restless people run in circles, chasing the dream, chasing a dream, a dream within a dream. Posting backsies in the maskies. But down is up and up is CG. It's like a Photoshop reality. What of love? But what about love? Where is the love?
You are listening to Infinite Plane Radio. Stick around for live call-in shows. Stay for the music and recent replays. Join us at infiniteplane.live for 24/7 live chat with other listeners.